Well, thank you very much, Robin. I would like to first thank CIDA and KPMG for inviting Acciona Agua to this exciting event. What I'm going to talk to, I've been told that we are a little bit off the schedule, so I would try to be quick. I'm going to talk today about desalination. It's something that has been mentioned today, and more concrete about the use of desalination as a sustainable solution and the experience that we have had in Spain. Well, since probably lots of you haven't heard before about Acciona, I'm going to start with a very brief introduction on Acciona, only three slides so that you know who we are and what is our background, and followed by a description of the hydrologic profile of Spain. This is only so that you can see that Spain, from a hydrological point of view, is not so different from Australia. We're much smaller, but not so different. And then we'll get to the Spanish desalination market, showing what I consider would be our most relevant projects, and then finish with some considerations about desalination. Also, I have added at the end of the presentation a very short video that I think is going to be of interest for all of you. Well, Acciona, the core part of the group was created in the 19th century, but we only took the name of Acciona in 1997 after the merge with other Spanish companies. We are listed in the Spanish Stock Exchange with a market cap of 17.2 billion US dollars, and we have more than 40,000 employees with activities in more than 30 countries. The different business lines that we have are infrastructure, real estate, logistic and transportation services, environmental services, energy, and especially renewable energies, water, and some other business lines. Well, the water division, which is the one I represent, was created only in 2006 after Acciona acquired the company Pridesa. Pridesa was a company known for being one of the desalination leaders. And after the acquisition, Pridesa merged with the other existing businesses that Acciona had to create the water division. Today, we are one of the world-leading companies in reverse osmosis desalination and also water and wastewater treatment. And we have more than 70 reference projects. All of them, or most of them, see water desalination, and not for industrial use, but big municipal use, with a total capacity of 1.6 million cubic meters per day. And also water and wastewater and reuse projects. We have more than 400 references, being the market leaders in Spain. Okay, hydrologic profile of Spain. Spain is a dry country, as parts of Australia. Even in some regions, we have rainfall levels of less than 300 liters per cubic meter per year, especially in what would be the Mediterranean coast and the Canary Islands as well. At the same time, Spanish basins are heavily overexploded, especially in the Mediterranean basin, reaching the levels of areas like Middle East countries and North Africa countries. This is the consequence of decades of overextraction of aquifer water for irrigation use. Also, Spain, this has been told many times here during the other presentations, Spain is likely to be hit by climate change. This map that you see here is part of a report published by the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change. This is a scientific body that was created by the United Nations in 1988 with the only intention on predicting from a scientific point of view what are going to be the effects, not only in water, but also in UV radiation, global temperature, ocean levels. And what they report here is that in some parts of Spain, by 2020, water availability is going to decrease from 5 to 25% in certain regions. So the situation is quite serious. Actually, that report mentions, I don't have the map here, but it mentions Australia. And as it has been said here, Australia is also likely to be hit by climate change with impacts on rainfall levels and also rainfall variability. Well, the Spanish desalination market, we are the largest user of reverse osmosis technology for seawater application out of the Gulf countries area. Actually, we are the fourth user after Saudi Arabia, UAE, and Kuwait. We have more than 700 desalination facilities producing about 2,000 million liters per day. The first desalination plant was commissioned 40 years ago in the Canary Islands. Spain has been pioneer in the use of reverse osmosis membranes when everybody was talking about thermal technologies, and also in the implementation of new technologies within the reverse osmosis industry. Actually, lots of important milestones that has happened in the reverse osmosis industry actually happened in Spain, like first time that spiral membranes were used in seawater treatment plants, or the use of new energy recovery devices like where the Francis turbines or Pelton turbines, that all happened in Spain for the first time. Also, demographic concentration in coastal areas and tourism have contributed to our own market growth. Tourism in Spain has increased tremendously in the last 15 to 20 years, being now the second country in the world in number of visitors, only after France, and a significant portion of those visitors come to the Mediterranean coast, which is where we have the most severe problems in water. So there have been lot of resorts built in the Mediterranean coast, and that, of course, has an enormous impact in water demand. Even when we have done some experience with private financing, still today, most contracts for desalination are awarded with a design-build-operate type of contract. In Spain, the central government is responsible for establishing the country's water policy and also financing major infrastructure projects. But local government is responsible for fixing water tariffs. This happened also in many other countries, I know, but in my opinion, this also enhances this fiction that we have everywhere, where tariffs really doesn't reflect the real cost of infrastructure. Well, this is the evolution of the use of desalinated water in Spain. As you see, it's quite exponential, and by 2011, they plan to double the capacity, so the tendency goes on. And one important thing about this graph is that, as you see, agricultural use for desalination is a significant portion. So this is quite uncommon. Usually, desalination tends to be applied just for urban use, and this has an explanation. Historically, most agriculture in Spain happened in Murcia, Almeria, Valencia, I mean, all areas along the Mediterranean coast, just because there was where the best climate conditions applied for agriculture, not only in Spain, but also in Europe. They used to take the water from aquifers there, so now aquifers are depleted, but the farmers are still there. So just the only solution that Spain have had to provide water to them has been through desalination. This, of course, has to be tied with adequate mechanisms for subsidies to farmers so that agriculture is economically feasible. Current situation, as I said, a lot of concern about drought and climate change. Water availability is hugely unbalanced between regions. The north, as you saw in the other graph, is extremely wet, and the south and southeast is quite dry. There have been a long political debate about whether to go for big transfer from the north to the south or go to desalination. The current government supports more desalination, and actually there have been awarded 8 diesel plants in the last 2 years, very big ones, and with more plants to award up to 3.5 million cubic meters per day for next year. I mean, this is a cumulative capacity of desalination. These are some examples of the most relevant diesel plants in Spain. Torrevieja is the largest in the country and also the second largest in the world right now operating. Well, this plant is not operating, but it's the second operating right now. This is 240 MLDs. Well, this plant has a quite innovative design. All treatment is enclosed in buildings, and aesthetics has been very carefully taken care of because of local government requirements. The plant is still under construction, so what you see here is just a simulation. This is El Prat Seawater Desalination Plant in Barcelona. This is 200 MLD for drinking water use. This was also part of the last set of plants awarded by this government. And one of the features of this plant is that it uses an existing wastewater treatment plant discharge to mix with the brine, so that the actual discharge is done at the seawater salinity levels. Campo de Cartagena, this is another 200 MLD plant, and this is one of the examples of the use of desalinated water for agricultural use, in this case for citrix. Canal de Cartagena, this has been built in two phases of 65 million liters per day each, and one of the important features about this facility is that it was the first one to use horizontal wells for intake, and is still the largest in the world, as far as I know, using this type of intake. This intake, if geologically feasible, I would say is probably the best one for big seawater desalination plants. And the last one that I have brought to the presentation, Carboneras, this was, at the time of completion, the largest in Europe and one of the largest in the world. It was put in operation in 2001. It's 120 million liters per day. It was awarded to a group of Spanish companies, and it was finished in a record time of 18 months, which now, with the delivery time that we are finding for diesel specific equipment, it would be impossible. A Spanish company also has taken benefit of these 30 years of record designing, building, and operating treatment plants, and have been exporting technology to all international market. Australia is still not here, but hopefully will be here soon, because the two shortlisted companies for the Perth 2 diesel plant are Spanish. And some considerations about RO technology. Seawater RO is especially indicated for urban use in highly populated areas, but as we have seen in Spain, it is demonstrated that it's feasible to have up to 100% of the water supply provided by desalinated water. That happens in the islands of Fuerteventura and Lanzarote as well, in the Canary Islands, and those are populated islands. But adequate mechanisms to make agriculture economically feasible have to be applied. Water quality standards have increased, especially with regards to boron for agricultural use. But desalination have evolved to meet those requirements, and they are not an issue, actually. Desalination is still subsidized in Spain and many other countries, even when nowadays desalination could actually compete with many other alternatives. But the problem that we have, as also has been mentioned by other presenters, is that the price really doesn't reflect the real cost of bringing the water to your taps. So that situation is very difficult to compete. Also, some considerations about the price of desalination. Technology improvements and bigger sizes for desalination plants have led to significant desalination cost reductions in the past. This is the last slide. Okay. But as you see, I mean, from the 80s to the 2000, there have been a huge reduction, going from above $2 per cubic meter with thermal technology to almost 0.6. In this period, we have seen significant new technologies applied to desalination, like reverse osmosis plus energy recovery devices, and then the introduction of Pelton type or turbochargers, energy recoveries, and now with pressure exchanger. And then the last point about environment. Here in Australia, I have heard many times about environmental concerns with desalination. It is often said that the main impact is the brine discharge of desalination facilities, and that it kills marine life and everything. Well, in theory, high salinity affects marine life, that's true, but it has been demonstrated with many studies and many publications which are publicly available that current designs for brine discharge really mitigate that effect. And the video that I had, which is 1 minute video, and it's going to be quite interesting, is about this. I received the video only 2 days ago, and I thought it was interesting to put it here. And actually the video is not working, so... Here it is. Well, this video was published by the Water Corporation of Western Australia, It's about the Perth 1 desalination plant, which, as you know, has been operating for a couple of months now. Here you will see the intake and outfall structures. And this is the intake, and you see that marine life has grown around the intake. And in the outfall, you will see that this is the diffuser that you are seeing here, the diffuser for brine discharge. And you see also that marine life has really grown around the diffuser. So it is not only that it hasn't have any negative impact, but many species are really attached to the diffusers. And one of the main concerns in this facility was the seahorse. And you will see here that seahorse is actually living in the diffuser. So as you see, nowadays this can be resolved, this can be mitigated, and well, with this I have finished my presentation. Thank you very much for your attention.